go ahead and turn in your Bibles or your Bible apps to John chapter 3. And I'm going to go ahead and dismiss the kids to go. I believe they're going with Miss Kenya. Is that right? All right. So kids, thank you so much. Teens, stay here. This is the week that you stay here. But Miss Kenya's got the kids. And Miss Tiffany, go right ahead. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Hopefully everyone's had enough time to turn to their Bibles. John 3:22. After this, Jesus and his disciples went into the Judean countryside, and he remained there with them and was baptizing. John also was baptizing at Enon near Salim, because water was plentiful there, and people were coming and being baptized, for John had not yet been put in prison. Now a discussion arose between some of John's disciples and a Jew over purification. And they came to John and said to him, "Rabbi, he who was with you across the Jordan, to whom you bore witness, look, he's baptizing, and all are going to him." John answered, "A person cannot receive even one thing unless it is given him from heaven. You yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him. The one who has the bride is the bridegroom, the friend of the bridegroom, who stands and hears him rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is now complete. He must increase, but I must decrease." Let us say our scripture declaration together. Lord, we honor your word to us. May your truth become our heart's pursuit and our life's practice.
Thank you so much, Tiffany. I appreciate it. And we are going to be getting to the baptisms in just a few moments, but I am going to be sharing with you from God's word from John chapter 3. And I'm going to be keeping it very short. And so as we move, we're going to be moving quickly. And I hope that you can follow along quickly. I promise I can talk fast. I hope you can listen fast. So let's go to this slide here where we talk about coming to life and our one to remember. This idea of coming to life is, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, behold, the new has come. In other words, the Lord looks at us differently. He doesn't look at us as lost sheep. He looks at us as one of his own sheep. He has made us a new creation. But the problem is for many of us, that's where we end things, and we don't ever truly become all that God would have us to be. So as we move to our next slide, I believe it's our don't miss the... Oh, very good. Right here. How many of you guys have seen the Batman movie that was the most recent? Are any of y'all like superhero movie fans? I'm a big superhero movie fan. Batman is one of my favorites. I know you're going, "Randy, you didn't do a very good job." This is literally what the Wall Street Journal article looked like, okay? Can you see that little thing in the middle? That's Batman, okay? That's Batman, okay? I promise he's in there. It says, yes, here you go. From 1966, it started like this. That was the, look at the one in 2025 in the bottom right. I mean, we think he's there, we're not sure, right? It's a funny thing about movies. If you're wanting something gritty and dark, you know, you can do the whole thing where you change the way that the movie is shot, and you can change the tone, and computers can make it very different. But literally, it's crazy to look at how bright it was, and then it got darker and darker and darker and darker, and then finally, you know, of course, the joke. But the 2022 is the latest movie that starred Robert Pattinson and all that stuff. I knew if I had teenagers in here, they'd be like, "I love that movie." You know, all right, there you go. But the whole point of come to life is on our next slide, and I just want to share this with you. In Christ, abundant life is available, but abundant life is not automatic. When he said in John chapter 10, "I have come that they might have life and might have it to its fullest," the truth is that you are the director of your own movie in many ways when it comes to living that life after accepting Christ. You and I make the decision on exactly how much we give over to the Lord. We have been given our lives as a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. But now the question is, how much do you give to him each and every day? And you guys know this. I mean, this is nothing new. I'm preaching about something that you have seen happen in your own life and happen in the lives of plenty of other people, and that is that basically there are some Christians who seem like God is calling all of the shots. I mean, it just seems like whatever he's telling them to do or the way that the Bible would say to live, they're doing that. And then there's other groups that claim the name of Christ, but they don't truly live for Christ each and every day. They do their very best, but they don't seem to make that every decision according to what God had said to do and how to live. And so that's where the abundant life falls back in your lap. That's where you get to shoot the movie. Are you going to shoot it in bright, vibrant tones? Are you going to live in Technicolor, or are you going to make it dark and gritty and barely make it by because you've never truly given your whole, your full, your undivided heart to the Lord and allowed him to change everything from top to bottom, front to back? And the whole thing can change if you will commit in that way. That's part of what baptism is about. And so as we look at a couple of things that we're sharing today, I want to go to our Something to Learn. And real quickly, let me share this with you. John the Baptist came in the spirit and power of Elijah, fulfilling the Old Testament scripture of Malachi chapter 4, verse 5, that prophesied that someone would be a forerunner declaring that ministry of the Messiah. It sparked a strange dynamic as good people left John the Baptist's group of disciples and became Jesus' disciples. They became Jesus' followers rather than John the Baptist's followers. And you might think to yourself, just for a moment, what that would be like if you were a man who's gone and had a very successful ministry and people have come to you to hear what you have to say about God and begun to be baptized and change their outlook on God in so many ways. But then Jesus comes along and you declare him, "Behold, the Son of God," or "the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And you declare it, and then your disciples begin to leave. Even if you're cool with it, the people that have been following you are probably not going to be cool with it. Can you guys understand what I'm saying? And so here John the Baptist is saying, hey, listen, this is what's happening. He's baptizing Jewish people, a number of them, and saying there's a whole new way of living an abundant life. Come to life. Give your whole self. And that's what baptism is, really. If you look here closely, this is a symbol. And as I reach down in here, I'm not going to quite touch. Well, you know what? Now I'm curious. Exactly how warm is it? All right, Baptist. Life. Not just simply barely getting by life. If you guys understand that there is a difference, I want to hear a really good amen real quick. Okay. That's good, because I was going to have to go all the way back to the beginning, and I'm glad that we had a good amen. Let's keep going. And we are moving quickly here. These two very productive days, there was an unnamed disciple who turned to Jesus. There was Andrew, who was the networker, who happened to have a brother named Peter. And then Philip, who was the scout, always had the connections going on. And then Nathaniel. These were all men who left behind John the Baptist and became Christ followers. And these were all incredible men, really leadership material kind of men. And they left this man's camp to follow this man. And it had to have caused some friction. You probably even heard it as Tiffany read that scripture. Let's keep moving to our next slide. And so after Jesus and his disciples went into the Judean countryside, he remained there with them and was baptizing. And John was also baptizing. And they came to John later in verse 26, "Rabbi, that one that you bore witness to, he's baptizing, and all of the people that used to be following you are now following him." Let's keep going to our next slide. Here's what I want to share. Our world is constantly telling us that we must be first to make a splash and find happiness. Y'all agree with that, right? I mean, you want to be the best. You want to be known. You want to have the most followers. You want to do all of these things. You want to have the most views. All of this stuff that our world seems to put high value on is a very interesting thing, and it's hard to break free from that concept and that idea and break free of that mindset. But let's go to our next slide here, and this is amazing. John says, "You heard me. I already said I'm not the Christ. I've been sent before him." And then he said, "The one who has the bride is the bridegroom. The friend of the bridegroom stands and hears him. He rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is now complete." And then verse 30 says this, "He must increase and I must decrease." In other words, the more that you seek to make your life the kind of life that you wish for, and forget what God has said to live, the more you will struggle to find true life and abundant life. But the more that you will lay down your life, as crazy as this sounds, you will find life and life to its fullest. It's a paradox. It's backwards. It's the last is first and the first is last. And it goes on and on all throughout the Gospels as Jesus speaks about it. But here's what I would share with you. For most of us, what we've done is we've given ourselves just a tiny little bit of Jesus, just enough to get us saved, but not enough to change our whole life. And I encourage you, if that is you, if you are still constantly struggling and realizing, hey, you know, I'm struggling not because life is hard, but because I keep making all of these decisions that aren't based on God's will for my life, but my will for my life. I encourage you, that 330, that verse of Scripture, he must increase and I must decrease, is the secret to life and life at its fullest. I encourage you. So let's go to our next slide here, and I believe one more, don't miss this. I said just a minute ago that our world is constantly teaching us that we got to be first in order to make a splash and find happiness. But our Lord instead is constantly teaching us that we must choose humility to make an impact and find joy. Find joy. How many of y'all know there is a difference between joy and happiness? How many of y'all know that? The joy is stays even when the hard times come. Happiness depends on what's going on right now in the moment. Ooh, I stubbed my toe. I am no longer happy. I am very angry. Ooh, I encountered Houston traffic. I am no longer happy. I am angry, right? And all of these things that change like a, you know, on a dime. But joy that lingers even through the midst of the hard times, that's what we're seeking. And it can't be found by seeking us first. It comes by saying instead, that big idea, I believe, on the next slide, he must increase and I must decrease. And then in Romans chapter 6, it talks about this. Don't you know that every one of us baptized into Jesus was baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of God the Father, we too may live, what does that say on the very last? A new life. He wants to give you life and life at its fullest, but the choice is yours, and he is not going to elbow his way in to make sure that he gives you what really would benefit you. He's going to leave it in your court, and it is up to you to decide. Now let's go to our next slide, and here, I think, is our big idea. He must increase, but I must decrease. All right, true confession. I have zero tattoos. All right, zero. But if I were going to get a tattoo, this verse of Scripture would be the one. I mean, it'd say John, like, I feel like right here, maybe, I don't know, John 3:30, right here. He must increase, but I must decrease. Why? Because I love it. It's so powerful. It's a short, incredible statement, but it is also a constant needed reminder that every day, when it is easy for me to jump back into the driver's seat and take the wheel and say, no, I'm going to steer my life this way. It's a reminder that that is not the way to end up where I really want to go. When I truly want to come to life, he must increase and I must what? Decrease. I've had the controls on my life for years and I've never found happiness when I have had those. I've never found fulfillment, I've never found purpose, I've never found peace. But as I give my life to the Lord, as I truly live this big idea, everything begins to fall into place and fall into line. Can I just say one thing real quick? If you haven't ever experienced that feeling of knowing that you are living as God would have you to live, please try it. As Jesus said to the disciples in that first chapter of John, come and see. Come and check it out for yourself. Come live with me for just a little while and you'll see that as you put me first, all of these other things are added to you. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all of these things will be added to you as well. And for most of us, we're not seeking him first. We're seeking ourselves first. So real quickly, what is the big idea on the count of three? Can we read it together? Ready? One, two, three. He must increase, but I must decrease. All right. Very good. Thank you so much. Now let's bring this very quickly to a close. Let's talk about this. Let's go to the humility quote for just a moment, if you don't mind. And then three things to, we'll just do the humility quote, and then we'll talk about something else. True humility is not thinking less of yourself. It is thinking of yourself less. And the truth is that if we can flip that script and make him the one that we care about most, our life begins to fall into line. Now, I want to go to slide number 34 real quick, if you don't mind. I don't know if that freaks you out that I have 34 slides, but we're on the last three or four. Okay, so real quickly, I've been sharing this with you. Those are the same animal, by the way. One of them constantly in the process of shearing off the things that don't need to be left. One of them left on. Now, if you have been here as we talked about coming to life, you know this. The truth is that sheep can actually run 30 miles an hour. How many of you find that surprising? I mean, it ain't a cheetah, but that's pretty fast, right? I mean, I promise you, none of you can run 30 miles an hour. I promise. But I promise you as well, the one on the left might be able to run 30 miles an hour. The one on the right cannot. I don't know how slow he gets, but he is less than 30. Can we all agree on that? All right, very good. Why is he less than 30? Why is he living less than he has been intended to live? Because he has not been constantly and consistently giving away those things that he no longer needs. Can I share this with you? For you and for me, we don't like to give away things in our life. We want to hold on. We don't want to give away things that have been around, even if they are dangerous or something that is pulling us down. We don't like to give away the things that have been in our lives for a long time. But here's what I know. If you want to be the best sheep that you can possibly be, you're going to look a lot more like the left and a lot less like the right. Can I get an amen? Right? You hear? Okay, so here's what I ask of you. Is there something that you know in your life as Jesus welcomes you and invites you and says to you, come to life? And he wants you to have that kind of life that is living in technicolor. If that is what he wants from you, what is it that prevents you from giving him your whole heart, your whole life? Every decision filtered through the filter, not of that dark, drab thing, but that thing that brings everything to life and to light. Because honestly, you and I, when we hold on to things, we become less than our best. But when we release them to God, he brings them back into our lives in ways that they bless us and make us a blessing to other people rather than burden us. And so for you and for me, I invite you to come to Christ, come to life, and experience it the way that he desires for you and I to live, a bright, vibrant life that brings him glory and honor. And so I encourage you, as he has said in his come and see, and his disciples followed him, and they were never, ever the same. Real quickly, how do you apply this message? I'm going to share this with you. It's just this way. You begin by serving someone else with your actions and your words today or tomorrow at the very latest. That's somebody at work and somebody at the family and somebody here in your extended circle. Because the truth is that if you don't begin to do these things, you will still remain the most important person in your world. And the longer that you and I remain the most important person in our world, the harder it will ever be for us to truly give ourselves away and say, Lord, this is truly about you and no longer about me. I want to come to life, not come to be served. And then we need to let go of one thing that you know, that a new creation just shouldn't be a part of your life. You as a new creation, you have something that's there that will stay until you reject and walk away and leave behind. And I'm not here to tell you what it is. I don't know exactly what it is in each one of our lives. We have very different things. But here's what I say. Whatever it is, you share it with somebody. Then you begin to make a change. You commit to the fact that you are going to change. And then be accountable to somebody to make sure that they come back and say, hey, giving up that thing that was pulling you down and weighing you down, how's that going? Because it can change your life if you will embrace the idea of coming to life through Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity to be here and to celebrate as we baptize these wonderful people. We would just ask that as they follow you in all things, make this a milestone in their spiritual life that is a blessing to them. May they remember this day as an opportunity to become all that you would have them to be. And Lord, bless each one. And we thank you so much for this. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone together said, amen. Amen. All right. Well, how about you first? Yeah, very good. So, I have a very unique situation today, and that is that almost all of these who are being baptized are being rebaptized. Not everyone, but most. And I am so glad and so honored to be a part of this, because the truth is that I was baptized as a very young person myself. I was baptized probably when I was 8 or so. I mean, a preacher's kid, you know how that goes. But I truly committed my life to the Lord when I was a junior in high school and really kind of never looked back. Not perfect, but never really looked back. And it was just such a blessing to speak to, actually all of them. But Felicia spoke about how she was baptized when she was younger, but it never really was something that was the milestone that she wanted it to be. It never really changed, and she wanted that to happen, but it just did not happen. And I mean, we can all understand that. I think you said that you were maybe in high school when that happened, 19. You're not 19 anymore. You've got, oh, okay, sorry. It's just us anyway. I mean, nobody's listening. But she's got a family, and she has a group that is an extended family. And I just want to say something. I'm so honored to have this position, but I want to be very clear. She's sitting here because of the input of her extended family, more so than me, by far. Whoever it is that pours into your life spiritually, follow them and encourage them and let them encourage and challenge you to be more than you've ever been. I want to call out Jesus and Kenya. They've been incredible. I want to call out the Castros. They've been amazing. Y'all have been a blessing. And of course, Eddie as well. God bless you guys. Beautiful family. And it's truly an honor and a blessing. And what a blessing it is that wherever we have been and whatever we did or didn't live up to, the God who loves us is always available for us. And when we seek him, he has said, I can be found if you will seek me. You will find me when you seek me with all of your heart. And so on her profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and her belief that God has raised him from the dead, I baptize this, my sister, Felicia Castro, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Ready? Buried with him in baptism, and raised to newness of life. Amen. Amen. Is this okay? Okay. Because sometimes I forget I'm wearing them too. Okay. We're doing it again. Did you want to speak, or did you want, you don't have to, I said I would give you the opportunity, and you know what, I should have done this off the microphone, I apologize. Okay, So I will share what she shared with me. And I say we're doing this again because I baptized Sydney when she was a teenager. And once again, in a similar story, the desire was there, but it just didn't happen. You guys can probably understand that, and it probably could very easily identify with that. But in one of the things that has blessed my heart maybe more than almost anything in the last 6 months, Sydney went home and she told her mom, she said, "Something happened. I don't know how to explain it. I don't know how to put it into words, but God spoke to me and it's different than it was before." And if you've never had that happen for you, if you've never had the opportunity to hear from God and respond to him and let him change the course of your life, today is a beautiful day for you to do the very same thing. And I'm just here to tell you that it's a blessing to be able to share this time with Sydney and to rebaptize her, not because anything was done wrong the first time, but she's actually the first person that came and said, "I want to be baptized." And she said, "I want to do it, but I'm not sure I want to do it in front of people." And I said, no, I want you to do it in front of people because that's what baptism is. Baptism is a declaration of what God has already done in your heart. And other people need to hear what God is doing amongst us and what God is doing in individual lives. You're a blessing. And I know that it was a turning point for you. And this is a special day because of that reason alone. And of course, many more. On her profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and her belief in her heart that God has raised him from the dead, I baptize this, my sister, Sydney Addicks, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. You ready? Buried with him in baptism and raised to newness of life. It's a little bit like American Ninja Warriors trying to get out of here before you slide and slip and all that. So, all right. Very good. Naya? I am honored to be able to baptize Naya Madison this morning. And she knows Tristan, they're friends, they're dating and things like that, but Naya actually came to me totally separate of whether or not Tristan was going to be baptized this morning. And that blessed my heart because I knew that she wasn't doing it to connect to Tristan, but she was doing it to connect to God. And that is what it's about. And we had an opportunity, I visited with each person, gone through the baptism lesson of, you know, following Christ in all things, and Naya had a lot to say about a very similar story that you've heard so far. These three have a similar story that they were baptized early and it didn't mean exactly what it could mean to them today. And this is an honor and a privilege to be able to baptize Naya today because God is at work. Not because she's been here for a long time and been here for a decade or whatever, but because God is at work no matter who you are, no matter how long you've been here, and he is available to you at any time. When you need him, he is there. When you reach for him, he will be found. And it is an honor and a privilege to baptize you, Naya. God bless you. On her profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and her belief in her heart that God has raised him from the dead, I baptize this, my sister, Naya Madison, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. You ready? Okay. Buried with him in baptism and raised to newness of life. I told you, I can't be a preacher and lie at the same time. I mean, come on. So the one that is not being rebaptized is Tristan. And I've seen this young man grow up. And I literally was almost surprised that we've not been here to baptize him before because I know his heart has been for the Lord for a long time. He has been faithful to this church. A couple months ago in February, he stood up in front of all of the people. He signed a letter of intent, and he stood up in front of all of his friends there at high school, which I couldn't have done when I was his age. And he stood up and he said, first of all, I want to give all the glory to God, because without him, I am nothing. So in a lot of ways, what he's doing today, he's already done. He's already declared that God is his king and his leader and his master. And so for that, I'm grateful and I'm honored. And I remember this young man when he was much smaller than I was. That's not true anymore. He's grown up into a great young man whose heart is soft for the Lord. And I'm so proud of him in so many ways. I'm so proud of the man he's become. And if you don't know Tristan, you're missing joy in your life, because he always makes you smile. He always greets you with an amazing hello and all of these things. He exhibits what it means to have that joy of the Lord, and I'm just grateful. And I tell you what, there are some people that are just easy to connect with, and that's who Tristan is. And he knows that I love him. I'm pretty sure he loves me too. I never want to be assuming anything, but God bless you, man. Man, what a pleasure and an honor it is to baptize someone who's grown up here in this church, who's found the Lord here in this church, and now who is baptized here in this church. Thank you, church family, for being a part of his spiritual journey. You are pouring into him each and every week, and we thank you so much for that. I wish Eric Teague was able to be here. He had a trip planned before the baptism ever was planned, but I know that he would be right here because he has been a big part of Tristan's life as well. And so we thank God for you. On his profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and his belief that God has raised him from the dead, I baptize this, my brother, Tristan Shandy, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. You good? Buried with him in baptism and raised to newness of life. Be careful, brother. Be careful. I love the tidal wave. I'm not kidding. Here's why. Because I got baptized when I was younger, and I was way back up there, and it never felt I was connected to the family of God. I felt like I was doing something publicly, but not a part of it. And that's why we could have built a baptistry, but we've left it right here, because these people are just like you and just like me. And just like they need you and you need them, we all need one another to be all that God would have us to be. So thank you so much for being here and being an encouragement and being a blessing and being a part of today's baptisms. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for each person that is here today. We give you praise and glory and honor for the lives that are changed, and look forward to once again, probably in August or September, celebrating that you continue to change lives. And Lord, may it all be for your glory and for your goodness to be seen and shown in this place. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody together said, amen. Thank you so much for your time and for your attention. You guys are going to be dismissed, but we're going to dismiss the way we always do. I appreciate your opportunity to be here with us today. Thank you so much for sharing this time with us. And may God bless you as you go your separate ways. And we're going to end the way we always do. You guys can say it right along with me. We've just heard God's word. Now let's go live it. God bless you guys. Love you.